College Soccer Nation, your authoritative source for NCAA Division I collegiate soccer, hosted by Oklahoma Sooners head coach Matt Mott, Rice Owls head coach Brian Lee, and the Duke Blue Devils head coach Robbie Church. They've got the insights, strategies, and insider stories you won't hear anywhere else. From recruiting to national championships, the coaches have it covered. So lace up and let's hit the pitch with Coach Mott, Coach Lee, and Coach Church.
Hello, College Soccer Nation. What's good? This is Matt Mott, head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners. I am joined with the esteemed panel of Robbie Church from the Duke Blue Devils and Brian Lee from the Rice Owls. Guys, first of all, I don't usually talk like that. I don't know why I do that in the pod, the whole AO thing. It just hits me with the pod. I don't know why that comes up, but that's what I say. Brian, start. How you doing, buddy? It's been a minute.
I'm doing fantastic. Spring wrapped up about a week ago for us. Did our little end of season meetings. All is good. May is coming.
It's kind of like, you know, I started watching Game of Thrones again. I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan, and I'm not usually into the sci-fi stuff, but something about this. So I actually started watching it again. I watched it a few years ago when it was on, and I started watching it again, and winter is coming, they always say. That's kind of like us with coaches. May is coming. Very similar. Robbie, welcome to the podcast. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. First of all, I'm not sure why you talk like that either. I've been wondering that too. And we have definitely been gone a long time when you call this group a steam panel. You can tell we have not had a pod in a long time if we are being referred to.
Yeah, it's true. I was saying to myself, and I was thinking, well, it is just Robbie and Brian, so it's not really that. So the people are probably thinking, oh, good, who they got on? And then they hear you two, and it's, kind of.
I'm looking at this group, and I don't see esteemed anywhere. And
no.
But, great. So, I'm in the spring, too, and happy to be back here.
Yeah, we finished up meetings, and happy to be on here chatting with you guys. Okay, a couple topics. First one is interesting to me. As we do these, end of the year spring meetings, one of the things that I find really interesting, guys, is, every single one of us that play sports, college sports or high school sports or youth sports, amateur sports, we all have a shelf life, right? We have a shelf life of how long can we play this sport for? How long is going to be our career? And it's different for everybody. It's different for everybody. Some kids play it when through their, middle school, or they play soccer through high school. My son just is graduating from high school and had a great high school career, but he's not playing in college. So his shelf life of his competitive soccer is over. We have players that, go through their college and that's their shelf life. Now we have this opportunity with NWSL and USL and overseas to play. So maybe they can play a little longer, but everybody at some point is going to come to an end, just like Michael Jordan did. And so on and so forth. And I think it's interesting because I think a lot of times with the college kids, they get into college and they think they got to do their 4 years. And that's just not the case, right? They may be done after a year or after 2 years or after 3 years. They don't necessarily have to go the 4 years if their time is done and they've realized it. But I think that's a lot of times a hard realization for players because it's been their whole identity and it's been their life for so long. And now it's over. Whether it's over when you graduate, whether it's over before, but what's your guys' thoughts on shelf life?
Well, I think you've got a clock. Basically, we all have a different genetic pool, and everybody's got a different clock that says when it's up, it's up, and your body just can't do it at the level you want to or want to compete at. That's as big a thing as anything for me, and it's really hard sometimes getting kids to the finish line when their clock ran up with a year or two to go of eligibility.
Yeah. No, a clock's a good way of looking at it too, I agree. Yeah, Robbie, what do you think?
No, I agree with that, but I also think there's kids that can still do it physically, but they're just not into it anymore. Their life has changed. They're into different things, and they still have that umbilical cord that they can't cut. This has been their identity for so long. Just as you said, as you named all those things, and they just cannot separate from that. When they do, most of them find out that there's another world out there.
Yeah,
there's another group of people to hang out with. There's friends to do. So it's interesting because they are expected to do this. They think they have to do this, you know, and they just hanging on. And we, you know, we don't want people just to hang on. We right. want people to be engaged. We want people to be, you know, part and to drive forward. We want positive energy, people driving forward. And it's just, it's not that they've used their shelf life and they just don't know how to get out of it and how to cut that umbilical cord.
Well, and I think there's, go ahead, Brian. No, go ahead.
Don't you think there's a huge parental pressure piece to that mm-hmm. as well mm-hmm. for the college kids? Or the kid who's on scholarship, not into it anymore, life has changed, meet all these people, and they just can't bring themselves to be honest with their parents.
Yep.
And it's so refreshing and life-changing when they're able to, and it's depressing and it's sad for them when you see it going on with a kid, and you know why. One of my favorite activities with the team is to say, okay, you know, modern day, everyone's mom is their best friend, right? Sometimes it's dad of the college kids. Raise your hand if your mom or dad is your, you know, best friend. 3/4 of the room will raise their hand. Okay, keep your hand up if you told your mom or dad what you did last night. All the hands go down. So then we just talk through, okay, your mom and dad aren't your best friend. They're your mom and dad. They love you unconditionally. The day you can be honest with them and tell them what you did last night, it's going to be the best day of your life. Yeah. Half of them look at me like I'm crazy when we do that as well. But it's a good one.
That is a good one. You know, I had a player say to me at one point, you know, I just don't recognize myself. Yeah. And it's but she did a good job of realizing that this was just, it's over. You know, it's over. And it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to, yes, you have to graduate from college. You don't have to graduate from the soccer team, right? When your time's up, your time's up. And, you know, think of how these guys deal with injuries and deal with all this kind of stuff. They put in all this work. If they're not getting the reward at the back end of it, then it just doesn't make sense. Because like you're saying, Churchy, there's a whole nother world out there for them.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Classic. Brian's a school. I'm in a school that's a very expensive school. And, you know, we know – We have a number of players over the years that have just been there for scholarships, and their parents are saying, you are not quitting that team. You are staying on that team because they're paying X amount of money of this big $90,000 bill, you know, and it's just, it's the worst that you see those kids because you just know this is not where they want to be. And these type of schools just to pay some of the financial burdens that's on them.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'd say on the other side, you got people, Brian, that like just can't let it go, cannot let it go. Like they play in an over 60 league, right? And they just keep going and just keep going. And, you know, I said to Churchy the other day, I said, Churchy, are you like a fast player in that league? Like, are you fast now? Is that what you are because you're playing in the over 60 league? And Churchy, your answer was what?
It's taken me 66 years to find a league that I'm the fastest player in. And I have found the league in Raleigh, North Carolina, 60 to 70. And we actually have 4 or 5 that are 70 to 75 years old that play every Tuesday and Friday morning. And we actually played today. And so you do have another shell life, okay? There's a new shell life, and it could be an old shell life that I'm in right now. Ooh. And we'll see how long that shell life will last us. But, I finally found a league that I am fast in.
Now, hold on. You're playing twice a week, Tuesday and Friday?
If I'm able to, if I'm in town, if I got things, I'm playing.
The league is playing two nights a week. Sure.
And there's actually a Wednesday night at 8:30 that some of these other clowns are playing in. They're playing three clowns. It's actually unbelievable. But you know what? It's the best. We play at 7:15 to 8:30. Take a little halftime at 8:00. And it's the best hour and a half of the week.
In the morning or at night?
No, in the morning, son. We're up early.
7:15 in the morning.
Oh, I've got to drive 30 minutes to Apex, actually. I'm up stretching. I have to get up early because I have to put in like 30 minutes of stretching.
We need Speedio on this. We need Speedio on this.
No cameras. There's no location. There's no location that you will ever know about.
Is it 11v11? What is it?
Well, it depends. Today it was 10. It was 10 on 10 today.
Okay.
There's so really, very rarely is there anything less anything less than 7-on-7, and we've had 13-on-13 before too. So we vary a little bit. We come up with
our own. So this is like a secret society, is what you're saying. Secret
society. Secret handshake. We got the secret bombs. We got the
separated.
One of the coaches brought out the defibrillators to show that the other day. So now we brought this out. And this is in case anybody goes down. You put the patches here and you put the patches there. I was like, oh my God,
Are we? All right, let's move on. So from ending your career to maybe resurrecting your career is the transfer portal, right? And I think that the transfer portal, to me, has still got a negative context to it, but it really isn't, right? It really is an opportunity for players to go find a new situation, a new setting, a new opportunity to maybe play. And the new legislation is out. I think is it approved or it's about to be approved, where now players can transfer and play right away, obviously, if they're academically eligible, which I do think in basketball and football, maybe some of those sports, you know, the degree maybe isn't the forefront. So they get a degree like I got in general studies and they can transfer easily from between school to school. But I think a lot of times with the, you know, the women's soccer players, you know, they have a specific degree they're trying to get. So maybe transferring as they get into being a junior or senior is harder with the credit hours. But the portal is a positive in a lot of ways. I think it's hard for the coaches because a lot of times we have to continue to recruit our same players. But there is a positive where players that aren't getting to play at the back of your roster get an opportunity to go and maybe get an opportunity. Thoughts? I know we've talked about it a little bit, but we haven't talked about it in a while. But let's start with you, Brian. Thoughts on the transfer portal?
You know, I think you're playing at a serious disadvantage if you are currently at a school where you can't, for lack of a better phrase, process kids, you know, have an end of season meeting where they always have to choose to leave. But, you know, if a coach tells you you're not going to play and you're not welcome here, then you're probably going to go in the portal. So if you're at a school that you can't, you know, administratively, you can't do that, or you certainly can't encourage that, then you're at a massive disadvantage now because of the portal, you know, because right now the NCAA max is 14 scholarships. If every time you miss on a recruit, you can process them in December or in April, May, then you're not operating off 14 scholarships. You're operating off 20. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if another school can't do that, they're at 14 eating their mistakes, if that makes sense. So, you know,
can we come up with a different term than process? That's a terrible term, Brian. A terrible term. It sounds like
Matt, we don't get it both ways. We don't get to like use the portal and you talk about how great the portal is, blah, 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 and then not have any of the words that the other sports use.
But process sounds like we're taking them to a slaughterhouse and we're processing the meat in a.
It's more like military processing.
Gotcha. Churchy, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I used to think that the portal was like a disaster, the worst thing ever, you know, that you have. And I thought for years and years and years, I never thought we would have a transfer person here at Duke. But then, you know, girls started going pro. They committed to us. They started going pro. We had girls that would leave early. We had girls leave. So there you are with, you know, you have a void. You have a void of talent on your team. You have a void. You have money that has come available at this point. And we've, you know, kind of dove into the transfer portal the last 2 years. And it's been outstanding. It's been outstanding. I just, you know, the girls that we brought in have just done a great job. They've been great students with us. They've been great teammates. And I think it's been, and then the ones that have left, you know, I think it's been also good. I mean, they're not, unfortunately, they are not, would not get a chance to play and try to be as honest as you can to them. And they go where they can play. You only, again, going back to that shell life, you only have 4 years of college soccer. You know, with COVID, you have 5 years, some of them, that's coming to an end. And, you know, I'd rather have those players go play, enjoy it, than have them stay and be on your team and be unhappy. And be unhappy before. So I think for I used to think it was negative. I really think right now it can be a really positive thing.
I don't know how you feel about this, Brian, but Duke University does prepare their players that do go on the portal very well. They come into their schools and do quite well, I might add. Yeah.
I don't know who's benefited from that, but you know, certainly the two of us on the podcast have.
Yes. Nice job, Robbie. Yeah. So we're just to be full disclosure, the only reason we put Robbie on here is we made a deal. He'll send us some of his players. No, I'm just kidding. All right, next topic. So probably the biggest news out of this latest NCAA meetings is the new rules, some of the new rules that they're starting in the NIL. And it's not official yet, but it's close, where now – we as coaches can talk to collectives about players and we can send the players to the collectives. So we can give the players the contact people with the collective. That's kind of the newest thing. And listen, I think in the sports that are really heavy on NIL opportunities, it's already been going on and they just had to get it. Instead of trying to control it, they just said, okay, let's throw our hands up. We got to let these coaches. And it makes sense. Right, a collective doesn't know who everybody's recruiting. It didn't make any sense for the coaches not to have any involvement. I do think it's good. I do think it'll be helpful to, you know, get these people connected because they need to, so that the players can benefit. And at the end of the day, that's the most important part of the NIL is that the players are able to get the money that they deserve from their name, image, and likeness. So that's out there. Any thoughts on that? I mean, I don't think there's a negative to it other than I don't think there's a negative to it. Go ahead, Brian.
Let's keep it real in soccer. Are we under the impression that it wasn't coaches directly offering already in our sport? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not really living under the impression that a collective at School X found the women's soccer player who was committed to some other school or just randomly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not talking about Spencer Rattler and Caleb Williams.
Yeah, right. But I do think you could say that about every sport, right? Like every sport, there was some connection there that the collective obviously found out somehow, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it'd be hard to say that it wasn't going on. I would agree with that.
I think it's a great rule. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just cleans it up.
Yeah. Robbie, thoughts? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think you guys have covered it well. You know, we were just now looking into this today. We actually had a meeting with our person, and found out we have another meeting with our collective next week. So this is kind of new to us, but I think it's all heading in the directions of going back to the schools. I think this is another first step. There was some other legislation that we covered in our compliance meeting last week that talked about schools can now do some more things, you know, more in an advisory role. So I think all of this is going towards where the NIL is going back to the schools and the universities will take that. We'll take that under their wings.
Yeah. And at least have some form of compliance with it. Right. We'll certainly help. So let's talk about this. And again, I don't think I'm going to say anything that's incriminating or illegal or anything like that, because this is more just a conversation of the three of our opinions, right? We're not setting laws, we're not setting rules, none of that kind of stuff, but just for the interest of the pod. So a lot of discussion. We discussed it with Julie, you know, when she was on a month ago or so, but revenue sharing and you know, paying players as employees. So to me, and again, I would love to hear your guys' opinion. I think those are two different things, right? You're going to make athletes, employees to some level at some point, whether it's revenue sports only, you know, football and basketball, maybe baseball, I don't know, or is it everybody? But then when you talk about revenue share, that's where I think it gets really interesting, because are those two things mutually exclusive? So are you going to have some schools that make athletes employees, and with all the different state laws out there and the different ways state work, is it going to become a federal law? Like, is it going to become like Title IX? Like, how is it going to work if all state laws are different, number one? And then revenue share, what about the schools that don't make any revenue? Or the schools that make a whole lot of revenue? Like, how does that work? I've sat in a meeting and you know, at one point they're saying, you know, an entertainer. So let's just say the greatest entertainer of all time, Bruce Springsteen, right? He typically gets 55% of the revenue for a concert, right? So is the football team going to get 55% of the revenue based on what they collect for the university and those football games and those TV deals? Are they only going to touch the TV deals? Like, there's a lot of layers to this. And then take school, like Brian said, school X that plays football at a 1AA level that doesn't make anything from football, right? It's only a cost. How do they do revenue? Do they do paying the players? Is it going to be, you know, the other talk we're hearing a lot about is we are going to go to all sports are going to be headcount, right? So it's all headcount sports. Soccer is going to have a number that's based on the university. You know, any of the schools that are not headcount sports already are going to go to headcount. Like, give me some overall thoughts, guys. I know that's a lot I just dropped on you, but what are some thoughts on any of those topics? Churchy, go ahead. You can start.
You know, I think if I was talking about the revenue sharing, I think it's interesting. I think, you know, obviously we're in a women's soccer pod. We're talking about majority of us obviously don't make money, and we don't, you know, and how is it going to affect us? And are you talking about a revenue sharing that's going to affect just through the university? Or are you talking about a conference? You know, the ACC is getting to some high level talks about if we're going to keep a Florida State, if we're going to keep a Clemson, if we're going to keep a Carolina, then we're going to have to get to some type of revenue sharing. It's always been equal across the board. But now Clemson, Florida State, they bring in more money than a Duke, a Wake Forest, right? Everybody knows that. And so, but Duke and Wake Forest gets the same share as Clemson, Florida State. And that's the problem. That's a way to make up some of that money. So I think, you know, they're looking at conferences are looking in sharing revenue within the conference. So everybody's not going to be equal shares. And I think, you know, schools are the same way. I think schools have had revenue sharing already in place. I mean, your big sports have get the majority of the money. They make the money, they get the majority of the money. I just don't understand how schools with massive athletic departments with over 20 sports, how are they gonna sustain that as we go forward too?
So you're talking more about revenue. I was talking more about revenue sharing with the players.
Yeah.
You're talking about within the conference, which is another good topic, right?
Yeah, no.
Another good topic. Yeah. Brian? Yeah.
Well, if it's women's soccer revenue sharing, then the players should be paying the school, right? If it costs, you know. Yeah, I've seen Duke soccer ticket sales. They draw pretty well, but that is not a revenue producing situation over with Duke women's soccer. So if we're going to revenue share for the guys who make money, maybe the kids should start kicking back and paying us. But that if we're all, you know, everyone gets
treated. I got to tell you, Brian for president. Ryan for president.
Exactly.
Thoughts on employees, Brian?
Oh, but I mean, it's coming, right? And it's just where does every sport kind of fall out in it? How do the schools handle it? You know, Robbie's thing with the schools with like 20 sports, certainly leagues aren't going to, I mean, you can't Stanford or Ohio State, say that's a good example, right? Don't they have 20, 28, 30 sports?
Oh, 30 plus, 35.
Yeah. Are they going to turn every athlete, every rower into a, you know, paid employee and all the extra expenses that go to with that? So there's got to be some way to come up with, you know, a limited number of sports falling into that category.
Well, let me ask you this.
Here's my thing with this thing. So if you know a college football player, those guys are legit working 60-hour weeks, right?
I don't care
about the 20-hour thing.
Yeah.
They are plenty of programs. They are there at 6 in the morning, and they leave at 7 at night other than to go to class and come back.
Right.
What is an Oklahoma women's soccer player's actual time commitment? When
we can't hit 20 hours.
Yeah.
No.
So the argument that you know, we're talking two totally different scenarios.
Yeah,
there.
I agree with that. Yeah.
We aren't working them 40 hours a week. Football's working them overtime, 60 hours a week. So yeah, they're employees, but our soccer players are so far from employees. That's crazy talk.
Yeah, but my other thing is, like, isn't the scholarship a form of employment? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're paying them. We're paying for their tuition. We're paying for the room. We're paying for the board. We're paying the cost of attendance, paying all these things. And again, I'm not saying that they don't deserve more. I'm not saying that. But it's not like sometimes you hear it's like we do nothing for them. And that's not the case, right? We are, you know, putting them on private jets or private airplanes or whatever. We're doing a lot of nice things for them. But yeah, we're not creating any revenue whatsoever. Yeah. So that makes it really hard.
We give them money. I mean, we give them Austin money.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
there's ways that they get money too. I just think this employee thing can only go for football, basketball, if it goes at all. And then you alluded to, Matt, was that, you know, what are the state laws? Every state is going to be different. And you can't have something where every state is different. You know, it's going to be very, very difficult when every state is making their own laws. And so, you know, maybe in Florida compared to New Jersey, they, you know, they're more lenient. Okay, that makes the Florida schools a little bit more accessible.
Attractive,
that gives them an advantage because of their state laws. You know, unless it falls under federal law, and again, as you know, I am no lawyer or pretend to be a lawyer with it. I just don't see how it's going to work with different states and different laws that's going to go into effect too. I think once these players get in there, they're going to look at it and say, oh, did I really want this? This sounded good. If I'm Dartmouth basketball, I changed the landscape. I made history. I'm doing all of this. But all of a sudden, the rest of the people are going to say, hey, that what Dartmouth did, really not what we want here.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, like exactly what you're saying. I mean, we're talking about the portal. They can transfer now all they want. Now, is everybody going to transfer? Who's got the best state laws for employment? You know, sure. It's a good point. Okay, last couple topics. Give me kind of interesting little NWSL talk. A lot of these youth players are doing pretty well, aren't they? I shouldn't call them youth players. The younger guys that turned pro, Hutton over at Kansas City, Fuller's doing great, Ricketts, Byford. A lot of these guys are coming into the league now as you know, before they go to college, and they're doing great. What's your thoughts, Robbie?
It has been amazing, Matt, to watch them. I've seen Kansas City a lot because of our relationship there. And Claire Hutton's done outstanding. I think she has done outstanding. And she's actually playing a different position than she played as a youth player. She's more sitting in the lower midfield in the sixth position. And she has been great. And if you look over there and you had no idea about the background of her, and you look at across the board, you wouldn't have any idea. This is a 17, 18. I'm not sure how old he is. Now, I'm not sitting here saying they shouldn't go to college. I think every one of them should go to college.
Sure.
And I think there's so many benefits, and we're not going to waste time to go through all the benefits of going to college. But I have been amazed to see how seamlessly it looks like some of these kids have gone into this. Now, it's a long season. We're only four or five games sample size right now. How are they going to be 20 games into it? You know, it's going to be interesting to compare, but I think they're off to a great start. And I think some of them, they're very, very talented and playing with older players and speed of game, speed of play, speed of thought, you know, they're going to turn out to be outstanding.
Yeah. Brian, any thoughts on the young guys?
Well, I mean, don't we think this is the way it's really headed, where the elite, those top 15 kids, you know, we always talk about how 5-6 programs had a lock on recruiting the top 20 kids. And that's why there wasn't much parity in, you know, outside that group in college soccer. Well, parity's coming because this group of 7 or 8 that turn pro next year is going to be 12, and then it's going to be 15, and then it's going to be 20. And the USL is going to help that as well. And then when you take out the majority of the elite kids from coming to college soccer, it's going to look a lot more like men's basketball looks, where FAU can make a Final Four once that talent gap is shrunk.
No, I totally agree. I couldn't really well said. I think it's going to make it really interesting because now it's you know, a lot of the players are at the same level and now they're going all over the country. Now this tournament, instead of your blue bloods that you see in soccer year in and year out, it may start to even out. Where does NIL fit into that? All of that really could change the landscape pretty significantly, which I think would be great. If our tournament was more like basketball, it'd be awesome. Where, and again, UConn's a blue blood, but you know, teams like that, Purdue and FAU, and like you're saying, that would be awesome. Teams can make a run and really have a legitimate chance to get to the Final Four. Yeah, Robbie.
I think the NIL is going to be huge. It's who has the money? Who's mm-hmm. going to have the money? Who's going to, you know, what we need to find out is who are those 15 players that are going to go pro, and let's find them out quickly and get them off the table and not waste time and spend our time. Let's identify those players, get them out. But it's going to be the conferences. It's going to be the schools. It's going to be the NIL. It's going to be who's got the money, who's going to pay for the money. It's going to get the next level of players down, probably, unless, you know, there's a niche academically or something that they're looking for, or family ties, different things.
How do you think Ants is feeling? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
Well, it's the NIL, the, on the NIL stuff, I think we're starting to see now where our sport used to be really heavily private, high academic for the best recruits. I think NIL has changed that already, where you'll have a kid for $30,000 not go to Stanford, for example. I don't have an exact example on this. Yeah, and maybe go to, you know, let's say Oklahoma State instead if they've got a better offer. And pre-NIL, nobody is choosing Oklahoma State over Stanford or Oklahoma State over Duke. Colin's the most wonderful guy in the world, or Oklahoma. Matt's a wonderful guy. So that was never, and a great coach. That was never, ever happening. Now with NIL, they can make it happen with $20,000, $30,000, which isn't a huge NIL number.
Yeah. The whole thing is really interesting of what it will look like. But what if you're sitting there today and you're Anson and you're watching those guys play in the NWSL, knowing they were coming, a lot of those guys were coming to your school. And now what does he do, right? He kind of, I mean, how are they going to fill the roster? It's really, really interesting to me because they're the team that took the biggest hit, right? I mean, they had a lot of those guys come in and were going to be good. So,
you know what? If I was Anson, you know what I would do?
What's that?
I would, just to cheer myself up, I'd look over at the trophy cabinet and say, that's pretty awesome. And then I'd open my 401k or whatever, if he's been investing his money with us from camp, and I'd have a look at that and say, you know, that huge camp for 30 years, that was pretty good. So you go get him, Kennedy Fuller.
Yeah. Speaking of that, let's talk about that. Tracy Leone.
Yes.
Headed to Carolina. Right? What are our thoughts on that? That's, I mean, Tracy is without question one of the most wonderful people on this planet. Anybody that knows her has come in contact with her. She is awesome, pleasant, happy, fun, was a great player as a college player and a pro player and national team player and you know, won us a gold medal in World Cup with the youth. Great, great person. But I think a little bit of a shock to all of us. No? What did you think to that, Robbie?
No, I mean, I think it's a great hire by Carolina. It's a great hire. Tracy is everything you said correct, Matt, about Tracy. She's great. It's an alma mater. She bleeds Carolina blue. She's excited. I know seeing her, talking to her this weekend, she's excited to be back. I think it's, you know, I think it's a calming presence over there. And so I think she'll do a great job there.
Yeah. Brian, any thoughts on Trace?
Oh, yeah, my thoughts are this. For the younger generation, they might not know Tracy Leone. Certainly as a player, for sure, they wouldn't know her. But as a coach, even at her peak, she was headed toward real chance at the full national team job. When people first started talking about Anson retiring, she'd have been sliding over, had Clemson in a couple quarterfinals in their first 5-6 years. Wonderful person, but probably arguably the best coach in the country when she kind of decided to scale it down a little bit and, you know, had a family and that kind of stuff. So I think it's a great hire and that's very much a potential Anson successor. You know, that's just me guessing.
For sure.
If the time comes.
Yeah, no, it would make a lot of sense for her to just slide right in there. No doubt about it. Okay, last couple things. Robbie, you want to give us an update on the NWSL? Do you have that handy? What's it look like?
You know, I do. As I talked about, I think we're 5 games from most of them. A couple teams have only played 4 in San Diego.
Churchy, let me interrupt you real quick. I think we should call this NWSL Big Games with Robbie.
I don't have the big games of the week. Next week, we prepare. But I think, you know, it's obviously close at the top this early. But I think if you look at it, the current has been very, very good. Those players, the new players they've added up front, you know, the 2 international players they have front, and they've scored a lot. I think they got like 17 goals. So they do have 17 goals. And then Washington Spirit, I think Mark's group, you got to shout out to them. What, 4 games in a row?
Not surprising.
4 straight games. Yeah. They're 1 point behind. They've done well. And then to me, I think the biggest surprise at this point, and you got to say, is the Chicago Red Stars, who was at the bottom last year. Most of the year spent time at the bottom, at least the bottom third anyway. And they are right there with 10 points, and they're in third place. So, you know, they've done a great
job. So what you would say is it makes a difference when Mallory Swanson is playing and not playing.
I think so with it at that point. When you add a world-class player like that, you see what happens. It makes anybody. So I think, you know, they've been a really, really early surprise. I think, again, the middle of the pack is very tight from the Courage all the way down. The other surprise, I guess, is the defending champion Gotham early is down in 11th place. I think the products have been great. I've enjoyed. I've watched a lot of it, probably more than ever early in the season, and the crowds have been outstanding. The atmosphere has been fantastic. So I think they're off to a good start.
Love it. Okay, and the new USL is getting closer by the minute. You know, they're on the same as the college. Not a college schedule, sorry, the international schedule, which is similar to the college, where they're going to kick off real, real close to when we are. So those teams I know are coming together. We probably have, you know, a couple of big announcements on this pod coming in the next couple of weeks of who's signing players and coaches and all that kind of stuff. But excited about another opportunity for our college players to play professionally after. I think it's going to be a good league. And, you know, they got some great areas for teams, and I'm excited to see what that league looks like. And another league to compete with the NWSL, I think, is awesome. But I agree with Churchy. I've been shocked at the crowds. I mean, they're really packing them in, which is awesome. Awesome for the future of professional women's soccer. Yeah.
And, Matt, don't forget, we got a bunch of probably young, aspiring coaches that listen to this podcast to try and glean knowledge from the three of us.
Yes, indeed.
But I'm going to give them a little piece. I think it's a great idea for a younger coach to be exploring a pro career now in the United States in our women's soccer arena. That wasn't the case 10 years ago, certainly, and 20 years ago wasn't even a thought in anybody's mind. But it's a great thing for young coaches as well. It's going to open up opportunities and, you know, some great jobs.
Yeah, no question about it.
You know, again, like Matt said, you know, this league is going to start in August, and it's going to go all the way through April. There's going to be a lot of soccer. It's going to be really interesting. But, you know, they're only about, what, May's around the corner. So they're only about 3 months away from starting.
And getting rolling. Know,
some of these teams are still finding coaches, general managers. Yes. they're announcing the first signing of players, you know, it's just coming out. It's going to be interesting to see them get started.
Put it together, yeah. Agents are having a lot of say in this, I think. All right, last thing, boys, give me a quick 1 minute Duke recap of the spring, Rice recap of the spring, or anything else you want to talk about. Open forum, boys.
Open forum with it too.
That's okay. Right, go ahead.
Yeah. I'll go first. Duke recap. Good spring. Really, really, really good spring. I think, you know, after what we consider a poor year in the fall, it was great to be back out there. It was one of the more enjoyable springs. And, you know, most of the time at this age, you're like, okay, spring's over. Thank God I'm ready for a break. But we wanted to continue to play. Finished up with some good results with Virginia. Played well against Wake Forest. But, you know, it's a little bit of break for the kids now. Exams are kicking in. But the good part is we're getting closer and closer to that month of, I would say August, but it's not this year. It's the month, it's the end of July.
So yeah.
We are getting closer to our season.
Yep. Brian?
Well, you know, we always talk about it. I think every spring's got a different storyline to it. Rice, we had a huge roster for the spring, 23 kids. So with the boy practice players, we had a ton of 11s and really able to get something out of it. As opposed to last spring, we probably had 8 kids out there and played 7 asides when we could. So extremely productive, but that's, you know, fate of having that many kids in the program. The results were very good. Hopefully it springboards into the fall.
Yeah, great. And I would say Oklahoma, you know, obviously is my first spring here. Really excited about the group that came in, worked really hard. I think we laid a good foundation of what we want this to look like in the fall, and excited about the guys that came in early and the transfers we got in. And so, yeah, very good here in Sooner Nation of the soccer program. But I would say this, the old Matt Mott used to say, you know, good spring, good fall, bad spring, bad fall. But then a number of years, about 3 or 4 years ago at Ole Miss, we lost every spring game and then went to the Sweet 16 the next fall. So who the hell knows what the spring equals to the fall. But hopefully everybody listening had a great spring or in a spot where you feel good about your team and maybe getting a little – I mean, May turned – used to be a good month. Now with the portal, I don't know, maybe not as great, but certainly better than most months for us to get a little break and then into the summer. And like you said, Church, the end of July, crazy. We'll be back at it. Thoughts on pod in a week or two? Should we put this out publicly?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're going to get back to every couple of weeks. How about that? Off-season,
yeah,
2 weeks, in-season every week.
Yep,
give the people what they want, Matt. You know what they
That's
want?
That's right.
They want 3 aging coaches to just come on and banter on.
The other thing I'd say is if you're listening and you want to be a part of College Soccer Nation, send me an email. Give me a text. We'll get you on, interview you, let you talk about your program. We've been through so many coaches now. It's been awesome, but we want to get back to that in the fall for sure, where we have a coach on every week, whether a coach, sports psych, sports science, somebody on, a compliance person, somebody on every week for us to interview so you don't just listen to us bang on. All right, Brian, I got you to the perfect time.
Nice work.
Everybody, guys, thanks for coming on. Everybody, hope you're having a great end of April, start of May, and we'll talk to you here in a couple weeks. College Soccer Nation is out.